Praise the Lord. Last Sunday, we started on the book of Deuteronomy, and Pastor expounded from chapter 1 to 3. And the Lord revealed to us a very interesting thing that we learned. The Lord unveiled the curtain to see the love of God that we never seen before. Today, I'm going to move on to Revelation chapter 4. Sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Speak without thinking. Okay, so let's read the verse. I just want to, actually the passage is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4, 1 to 43, but I would like to read from 1 to 9. Can we see from here? Yeah, okay. And shall we read it together? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read together. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe. Let me live and go in, possess the land which the Lord of your fathers is giving. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who follow Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. The key verse I'm going to share here is verse 9. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren. The key word is observe and teach. And the topic I'm going to share with you today is passing the torch, teaching God's statutes and judgments to the next generation. And today's message is not just for parents, but for singles also. It is for everyone who wants to mentor and teach somebody about the Word of God. And you may say, hey, I'm not a parent, so what does it concern me? Here's the thing. Everyone, singles included, we should learn God's Word and follow God's commandments. Obedience to God's Word is not exclusive to married folks. It's for everyone, whether you're single or married, whether you're young or old, or whether you are a child or adult. And young singles can apply the message to build a strong foundation in your faith journey. You can be mentors, you can share and guide others in your age group or younger individuals. You can share what you have learned and begin to teach somebody in your age group. You know, when you become parents one day, learning all these principles become a very precious wealth that the Lord has given you, that you're going to be a great parent. Shall we not pray right now? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious Word of God that embedded in it installed great wisdom that, Lord, only through the Holy Spirit you can reveal to us. Help us this morning, Holy Spirit, to be able to receive from you the impartation of the truth of the Word of God and reject any kind of misunderstanding about the Word, and so that we can have a firm grasp of your word, and we can hold it tight, walk with it, and live victoriously to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. The greatest gift that any parent can give to your child is not the lavish material possession. It's not the great wealth that you want to give. It is not the good class bungalow, the GCB, and not even the finest education. The greatest gift a parent can give to your child is to help them and deeply understand God and love Him and faithfully commit to walking with Him in this covenantal love relationship. Why, you ask? Because parents won't always be there with your child, besides your child. A day will come when parents will have to leave them alone and you're no longer around even you want to. And your children must confront all these ever-evolving complexities of life by themselves. Who can truly guide them through such trials, unforeseen life crises? Only God, the faithful one who loves them personally, can journey with them throughout their entire lives, help them overcome and conquer challenges beyond their capacity. Safeguarding the journey to help them to arrive safely in heaven's gate and to receive valuable blessings and a rich inheritance that the Lord has prepared for them on earth as well as in heaven. The material things that we are going to give them will not last. Even if they have them, these things can't help them in tough times. Look at the Ukraine war. Overnight, your wealth just evaporated. Serious critical illness, fractured family relationship, battle against depression, all this can't help you. Whatever material things can't help you. But sadly, many parents overlook this invaluable gift for their children, failing to recognize its significance. And this is precisely why teaching the next generation becomes not just important, but an urgent priority. Then we begin to dawn in our mind, why are parents not teaching? And the first reason I want to share with you is parents are not fully convicted of the word. Many parents may not be fully convinced or be convicted by the word of God. I think they may be hearing the teaching, but are not observing and obeying His teachings. So when we fail to follow and practice His teachings, we missed out on the blessings and benefits. And Moses instructed the Israelites, listen to the statutes and judgments. First thing is to listen, but that's not the end. He said that, which I will teach you to observe. Second part is about observation. Observation means here is obedience and following it. That you may live and possess the land. So it's not about listening. We may be listening here on Sunday morning, but the issue is, are we observing it? Are we following and practicing it? That is the issue. So many are listeners, but may not be observing it. So they are not convicted, fully convicted. And the second reason is they are not convicted to teach. Parents are not convicted to teach. Either they are ignorant or nobody tells them or just too many distractions. You know, in today's world, parents face significant challenges arising from secular culture, competing worldviews, distraction from digital devices and social media, work demands, school pressures, peer influence, and this add to the complexities of passing down the faith to the next generation. So teaching the next generation to foster a deep relationship with God becomes so vital. It prepares them from inevitable challenges, enabling them to have a victorious life and to attain their inheritance. But our parents, most of us in Singapore, focus primarily on the children's immediate needs, their education, the material possession, leaving little room for broader planning, neglecting the considerations for the third generation and generation beyond, after them. I recall sometime back, my wife told me this story that she had a conversation with another Christian mother about this issue, and the mother expressed a sentiment shared by many Singaporean parents. Where can I find time to think so far ahead for the third generation? My children is really driving me crazy. I am struggling with time to cope with my work, time to cope with the family issues, the three meals, school homework, and so many things that crop around the day. I'm struggling. I don't have the slightest thought to think about that. So this mindset reflects a short-term perspective with little consideration for their inheritance, for the children's inheritance. Maybe we think about our inheritance, but have you ever thought about our children's inheritance? Do we have a part to play, both spiritual and material, of our future generations? Aggravated by the parents who are not deeply committed with the word themselves, that hindered their ability to effectively impart God's wisdom to our children. And because they are not convicted and wholehearted to practice and observe these teachings, as a result, our teachings become diluted. And we dilute and water down God's teaching, and we pass down that to our children. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses passionately urges the Israelites two things: to observe and to teach. Observe wholeheartedly, follow, and teach God's statutes and judgments. So he shows the dual responsibilities of both teaching and observing God's statutes and judgments. The dual role highlights how important that this teaching and obedience are closely interconnected. They are two sides of the same coin, emphasizing the essential role in maintaining a faithful relationship with God. So observing and teaching ensures a continuity in imparting God's word to our children. That's the second issue. We are not convicted to teach. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses placed strong emphasis on the importance of listening, obeying, and teaching our children, the next generation. He stresses the need to ground them in God's teaching. Then he redirects his focus on a very critical issue that went unnoticed and often disregarded. And he calls attention to this. He said this: don't just teach our children, but he placed strong emphasis on the vital task of equipping them to become teachers themselves. I repeat again, it's not just about teaching your child. It says about you teach them to become teachers one day. This is the heart of the matter. This must be the goal and responsibility of every parent. Teaching your child is not enough. Your goal is to train them to become teachers, to teach their children one day and subsequent generations, to ensure the covenantal relationship with God is secured. So there are three reasons I've given you. So why? Why is this instruction so important? Moses' instructions make it clear that ignoring this very important duty of parent has far-reaching consequences for the inheritance we're going to leave behind. The Bible reveals to us that when the first generation, when your generation, our generation fail, the subsequent generations also fail. And this is recorded in the scripture. As we move on from Deuteronomy chapter 4, we will see more. You know, it is just like a relay race where each runner is running carrying a baton. If the first runner drops the baton, the next runner has nothing to pass on. The entire team falters. And similarly, in the relay of passing down God's statutes and judgments and values from one generation to the next, when one generation fails to do their part, the subsequent generations also fail. And how many of us realize that we are holding the baton? Do we realize that we are holding the baton right now? Whether you are the first generation or you are the second or third generation, you are holding the baton that God has placed in your hand. So what are we going to do about it? The principle is simple. Faith continually ceases the day our children stop observing and teaching. Not just observing. Faith continuity ceases the day our children stop teaching and observing. Faith's flame dies the day our children cease to pass it on and live by it. You see, we can see this in many churches in nations overseas. Nations, churches in many nations died out when it failed to do so. If you have traveled to Europe or UK, you will notice that there are plenty of churches around, big, huge churches, cathedrals. Many of them have become museums. Right? Grand cathedrals now stand with dwindling congregations, primarily consisting of elderly folks, very few young people, the absence of younger worshippers, most of whom declare now their 80s. This is a very sad picture, a very sobering picture, a consequence of the previous generation failing to teach and impart the values to the next. One generation, the whole thing can turn. Just like in Singapore, one generation become a, from village, become a metropolis. That's what our founder, father said. Just one generation. And so in the instruction is so pivotal. And Moses in Deuteronomy 4 have this to say. He provides specific instruction on what to teach and how to teach effectively. What to teach and how to. So Deuteronomy 4, we are going to look into how, what to teach and how to teach. Today we are going to learn from Moses and from God. What does God want us to teach? And how do we teach it effectively? So I'm going to move on right now to talk about what to observe and teach the next generation. But before that, we know the word is the key word, observe and teach, right? So observe means to follow and obey, but here is observing by preserving the integrity of God's word. It says in verse 2 that you shall not add to the word which I commanded you, nor take it from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. You shall not add to it or subtract it. That means that obeying God's word without altering it in any way, do not dilute it, alter it, and do not downplay the importance of the Ten Commandments, for instance. For instance, honoring parents in the Ten Commandments. Yeah, do we downplay that? Oh, no, this is of Old Testament, not so relevant now. We are all staying different places. Honoring the parents. How about the importance of observing Sabbath? Oh, you can always skip one or two times, or, you know, many, many times, or even do online. The question is, how do we see that? Do we downplay it? Do we make it less relevant and less important? And so, Moses says, don't do that. Don't downplay it. Don't water down, right? And do we, sometimes we do it, you know, to in favor of more comfortable and convenient interpretations. So we go for selective interpretations. Example, hyper grace is selective interpretation. Hyper grace will teach us that the concept of grace. We God loves us so much at the grace that at the expense of moral law and God's judgments and the need for repentance. So we go for selective interpretation and we altered and we did not preserve the integrity of God's word as a whole. Do we downplay the seriousness of sin, for instance? Sins of adultery, extramarital affairs. Do we rationalize it and say, well, nowadays divorce rate is so common. So what's the big deal even among Christians? Divorce, adultery. How about adultery of creating and worshipping idols? Many times the idols may not be the physical, but there are many idols that can crop in and creep into our lives these days in subtle forms. It can be some form of addiction even. So the Word of God tells us the observant part is to be faithful to the principle of God's commandment, observing the Word. Therefore, we need to identify exactly what is stated and maintain a careful and attentive consideration of God's teachings. Understanding the reasons behind them. We may not understand the reasons right away, but we need to give time to think and meditate the reasons behind them and recognizing whenever God says there is a place for it, there's significance and need to be applied in our life. Observance. Teaching. Teaching what? Teach God's statutes and judgments. Teaching by not just giving information. Teaching with explanation of their meaning, their significance, and their applications. And many times we are so used to teaching by just imparting information. So that's not what we are talking about. Teaching God's statutes and judgments. So that's the first thing, right? So now I want to talk about there are three things that we need to teach. Three things we need to teach. The first thing that we need to teach to our children is teach God's covenant relationship of love. That's the most important. Teach God's covenant relationship of love. God operates by covenant. We relate to God in covenant relationship. The covenant serves as a safeguard, ensuring that we will receive our inheritance. Our children will receive their inheritance as God has promised. The covenant is the protective agreement from God to us. Knowing God is all about relationship. It's all about relationship with Him, not a rigid religion. It's not just rules and obligations, but a bond rooted in pure love. And in this relationship of love, we are to be faithful to God, our superior and equal partner who chooses to love us. Then you may ask, why God make it so difficult, set boundaries and consequences, make it very uncomfortable to some? Do you know that boundaries and consequences are expressions of deep love for us? At the heart of the covenant is a relationship of love. You know, like a loving parent will always set boundaries and consequences for the child's action. A parent who doesn't set boundaries for the children are called permissive parents. They thought they are loving the child, but they are actually creating a lot of long-term detriment to this child. The child will grow up freedom. Freedom is my choice. I do anything I like. No boundaries. And permissive child, permissive parent will regret. Because God's teaching is very clear. You need to set boundaries. Parents need to set boundaries and consequences. And why? The reasons. We need to know why, not just for the sake of that. Right? A loving parent setting boundaries and consequences for their child's actions are very important. The boundaries are not punishment. But the boundaries are nurturing growth, safety, and well-being. Just like parents insist that, child, you never play near a busy street. These are life lessons teaching responsibility. You break the rule, you face consequence, like your temporary loss of privileges. But these are to instill the value of following the rules and helping the child to make responsible choices. Ultimately, it is for the child's long-term well-being. So the parent's aim is to raise this child to be a responsible, safe, and a wise individual. It is a pure act of love. So in a covenant relationship, the significance of a covenant relationship is love. You need to look beyond just the boundaries and consequences. But in this covenantal relationship, there's another great privilege about nearness. God desires nearness to us, close to us, through covenant relationship. At least to demonstrate His unwavering care and fostering a unique and exclusive bond. His presence to be with you. Who wants to be with you? Only the person who loves you all the time, right? A person who hates you will run far from you. But God wants to be with you. What does He mean? He treasures us. He wants to be with us. He wants to be close with us. His presence will be with us 24/7. So it speaks volume about His unwavering care and love, a unique and exclusive bond that He wants to build with us. His presence with us is an extraordinary and unparalleled relationship that believers have with God. So your covenant relationship with God is exclusive. And this marks a great contrast between other beliefs, where people worship often seeks appeasement or favor. But God chose us as distinct, chosen people to love us and build a relationship with us, a special relationship, to be near us. So God's teaching of covenant relationship, that's something that we need to teach our children. The second thing we need to teach our children is God's statutes and judgments. Statutes are decrees or prescriptions. Judgments refer to principles of justice and righteousness underlying God's law. Together, they make up God's commandments, which include the Ten Commandments. But besides the Ten Commandments, the statutes and judgments encompass other principles. For example, loving God, love God and your neighbor, forgiveness, sexual purity, care for the vulnerable, pay restitutions, truthfulness, for example, protection of life, the sanity of human life. So all these are covered. So we need to teach that. So in order to teach, that means we need to study the word. Second thing we need to teach. The third thing we need to teach is teach the fear of the Lord. Today, reverence for God is hardly spoken to as a value to pursue. Why should reverence of God be taught? Why? The first is, God is Lord. First thing we need to recognize, He is not any ordinary person. He is Lord. And Moses explained to the Israelites how God demonstrated His Lordship. And He says to the Israelites, you know, you have seen the unmatched power over creation, the signs and wonders, the deliverance from Egypt, parting of the Red Sea, the provision of manna in the wilderness, the defeating of the Egyptian army. They say He set Himself apart as the unique one true God, the creator of the universe, all-powerful, morally upright and caring, set apart above all nations and creation. That is Lord. Not only is He a Lord, we need to teach the fear of the Lord by recognizing that God is a consuming fire. It's stated in Deuteronomy 4:23. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. So what does it mean? Consuming fire speaks of the intensity and purity of God's holiness. In the same way, the fire consumes and purifies, God's presence is all-consuming. It purifies our hearts. It purifies our actions for those who choose to follow Him. It purifies our lives. And therefore, God is not to be taken lightly. We don't come to God with irreverence on Sunday or time when we worship Him. We come to Him with reverence because He has a zealous desire to have exclusive devotion and faithfulness from His people. God is a jealous God. Now, this jealous is not about human petty jealousy. His jealousy arises from a deep love for His people and a desire to protect them from spiritual harm. You know, it's like a married couple seeking for exclusive devotion and the rejection of any third-party influence in the relationship. That's a kind. But His is jealousy. Jealousy to protect us. Jealousy to guard us against danger. Jealousy to protect us against impurity. So we need to teach the fear. We understand what is the fear of the Lord. So now I'm going to share, teach what is the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord means teaching our children that they come to God. Whenever they come to God, they come with awe and reverence. Awe and reverence. There's a holy fear of falling short of God's perfect standards. And there's a desire to align with His holiness. No, it is out of respect. You know, just like you respect your own boss who is so wise and kind. You respect him like the way we respect our founding father, LKY, right? Respect. But this, if you respect this wise and kind boss, giving him the respect and obedience to him, which he often provides guidance, he set high standards for you. But he motivates you to perform your best and avoid actions that might disappoint your boss. So when you respect somebody, you don't want to disappoint him. You want to do your best. He set high standards, but you do your best because you respect him. And holiness is also about the private lives, making choices that align with God's values and holiness. Regarding moral principles, you refrain from actions that go against God, that will hurt His feelings, and you're always seeking to deepen relationship with God through your devotions and services. So there's a coming to God with that kind of awe and reverence. We need to teach that. Otherwise, our children will come, the worship ground become a playground. Right? So we need to, there's a place for worship. There's a place to play. There's a place to do what the Lord has designated. Teach what is the fear of the Lord also means that acknowledging His supreme rule by three acronym here, submit, obey, and worship. This one pastor taught us before. Right? How do we respond to the Lord? S-O-W. Submit to His will, obey His statutes, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Submission is an attitude that we place ourselves under His authority because He's so wise as a superior God of all wisdom. And even I defer from His preference. I trust Him that His actions are always the best for me. Submit. Obedience is the action, refraining from behaviors and choices that contradicts His teachings and actively following His commandments to align with His teaching. Worship in spirit and in truth, coming to God with a sincere and a genuine heart, aligning our innermost thoughts and emotions to offer praise and thanksgiving instead of going through the ritual and outward appearance, especially on Sunday morning. So on Sunday morning, when we come, how does fear of the Lord look like? When we come with a sincere and genuine heart, reorganize our thoughts, inner thoughts and emotions to align with Him, to praise Him, rather than distracted by Him all over the place. Oh, that's what I mean by that needs to be a discipline to put it in order. That's called worshiping in spirit and in truth. Teaching, what is the fear of the Lord? Also means that we need to teach on, second thing about fear of the Lord, we need to teach on His judgment. The consequence of idolatry. God repeatedly speak against idolatry all over, you can see, from Old Testament to the New Testament. So idolatry is a great thing, great sin that God really hates. Idolatry. Now, the idolatry will draw in a curse upon the people. So there's a curse of idolatry when we begin to worship the idols. Now, what are the things that we'll see? We can see that in verse 26 to 28, we can see that the loss of inheritance. Now, inheritance is the most precious thing that God wants to give us. And it's the most important and most treasured things for us. Receiving God's inheritance is among the greatest treasure and blessings that we can ever have. But you lost that. You lost inheritance. Include, you lose your eternal life, you lose spiritual blessings and promises. And the worshipping idols will evoke shortening of your life, shortening lifespan, destruction of faith and relationship, erosion of trust, values, broken relationship within family, community. Worse, you'll be forced and scattered with few survivors. And that is what exactly the Israelites experienced. The Israelites practiced idolatry and disobeyed God's command. They were conquered by foreign powers and enemies. And they were scattered only, become remnant. Only a few of them surviving in hardship of captivity and rule. Don't take for granted that Singapore will be like that for the next 50 years. Nobody knows. The moment we deviate from God, anything happen. Any big powers can come near us. That's why at this position, we must be very so-called prayerful. That's why we are praying for our government every week. Teach is judgment, right? And also one thing I want to share about is syncretism. Syncretism is the mixing of biblical truth. Okay, idolatry is, you know, very clear-cut. But syncretism sometimes may not be so clear-cut. It involves a mixing of biblical truth with elements of other religious teachings. You may be a Christian and say, hey, I still believe in horoscope. And once in a while, I go and see horoscope. Or you read horoscope. And then you will dictate how it affects your life. Right? Christians, you're not careful. You will still engage it. This is not syncretism. You're a believer, you know that's wrong, you still integrate it and you go for horoscope or fortune telling. Yeah, all these things is forbidden. How about practicing feng shui? Christian can practice feng shui. Can. So when you renovate a house, you must fix a certain position. You know, all these things. But do you believe in God? Do you think God can overcome everything? Just like my neighbor who always be so superstitious, even my slipper, the direction they got to dictate. I think I shared before. Oh, so it is like that. You're living under bondage. Alright? So we are free. God has set us free. So but if you integrate feng shui into your action, then you are practicing syncretism. Or maybe you can say, oh, the more gods I pray, the better. The more, the merrier. Jesus is one of them. That's syncretism. When you believe in Jesus, how about ancestor worship? That one, I think you are leaving to discuss in a small group. Yeah, so we need to iron out some of these issues, because if not, we may be practicing syncretism. Right? Okay. Moving on. The second thing that we need to teach. The third thing we need to teach is, okay, how to teach. Now I finish the three things. The three things. What to teach? Teach covenant of love, first thing. Secondly, teach the statutes and judgments. Thirdly, teach about the fear of the Lord. Now, Moses in Deuteronomy 4 revealed to us how to teach effectively. So I'm going to share with you now, moving on. First, how to teach effectively. 5 ways. First way is, teach God's judgment to illustrate with stories. That means about stories. You must be a good storyteller, right? But not story for the sake of story, but story with principles and applications, right? Teach God's judgment to illustrate with stories. It can be a real-life testimony. It can be a biography or some personal experiences. So in this case, in Deuteronomy 4, chapter 4, it reveals to us the three stories that Moses taught. The first is about the worshipping the God of Baal and Peor. Baal-Peor. Idolatry. So what happened? It draw in, evoke severe consequences. Severe consequences. A divine judgment and a plague start. You see? So tell story with consequences. Judgment, right? The second story he told about is the Horeb experience of the first generation. That's the Mount Sinai, where God gave out the Ten Commandments, established a covenant, and talk about how God revealed himself with a lightning and thunder, you know, and the sort of awesomeness and the holiness of God. The first generation had a first-hand experience in this. And third story, Moses talked about himself because of his wrongdoing. At Meribah, he was excluded from entering the promised land. So you can see all these are something that we can teach the stories, but we know that there are repercussions. Trying to teach a principle, actually. Behind the story is a principle, not story for the sake of story. That's the first thing we need to teach. The second thing we need to teach is how to teach effectively. Teach the benefits. The value and benefits of obedience, the consequence of disobedience. So Moses highlighted great benefits when one obey God's commandment. And he listed some of them. He said that, in fact, God is declaring that to the Israelites that your obedience to the commandments bring such great blessings that others will take notice of. And others begin to draw in to inquire about, what are you learning? Who do you learn from? The kind of thing that draw people, the reasons behind the blessings and the righteousness. That means talking about a powerful testimony. When we obey God, follow Him, is your life going to be very attractive to people? Especially people who do not know Jesus. They want to find out, they want to draw near to you. That's a powerful, and that's what exactly God says. And the other thing is that God says that, what great wisdom, He says here, surely this nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God to us whenever you call? That means God is so near. Which God? None, right? Other than Jehovah. And it also talks about what great wisdom that you are going to have. So this is very important. When we follow God's word, one of the things that embedded in God's word is the wisdom. Is God's wisdom. The wisdom that comes from above. The wisdom that you cannot acquire through books or reading motivation books. You cannot get it. It's only from the word of God. And it says that this is the greatest benefit. If you embed it, God will open your eyes to reveal to you the great wisdom that you are able to make great decisions, good decisions, avoiding mistakes. So you don't read God's word and you throw it away, you treat it like rubbish, you miss out the greatest treasure that God has placed in front of you. He's going to bring you wisdom. He's going to give you comfort, guidance with His presence as you face challenges in life and uncertainties. And He's going to give you direct access to God. You can call Him anytime, anywhere, and He's near you. And He's all ready to relate to you and answer you. It may not be now, but guarantee that He will answer. You will know it. Many of us think that, oh, yeah, answer, God must do it now. Not necessary. But the guarantee is He definitely will answer. But how do you know when it comes? So don't just cut it off. Right? And powerful testimony. That's very important. Second thing to teach, benefits. Third thing to teach is, teach measures to avoid forgetfulness. Now, this is very interesting. In verse 9, it says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. Can you imagine what they have seen? They have seen the greatest miracle of in their lifetime. The parting of the Red Sea and so forth and all those things. Why is it that they forget? And many people ask this question, wow, if only God showed us this great miracle, I will believe. Is that true? The Israelites tell us that may not be true. They have seen the greatest miracle of all time, yet over time, they forgot. They forgot God's teaching. So how do we help ourselves teach so that they will not forget? First is that the teaching has to be relating to everyday life. Learning without relating to daily life is a theory and information. Just like learning mathematical concepts, a complex mathematical concept without real life application is a theory. And when we learn without application, we know a lot of knowledge, the problem is that it will make us proud. Knowledge without application leads to pride and self-centeredness instead of personal transformation. If you're not careful, we think we know, well, I know a lot on the Bible, but actually, it makes you proud. Knowledge puffs up. So we need to connect biblical principles to real-life situation application and by asking questions, how can we apply God's commandment in our daily lives, in your child's situation, when he faced some issues? How do you apply it? When he's going through difficult time and struggle, how do you walk with him with the word of God? How do you apply, make it real life? It's not just, it's good to know, but is it applicable? Many times people say it's not applicable. You know, my brother-in-law shared a testimony that he was very proud to say that his, maybe my father-in-law, which is no longer around, when he's in younger days, he went to JB. Very good, because he knows how to angkat with the immigration. Very good relationship. Because of business. So when he go through, not just one lorry, he's in truck business, a few lorry trucks. So immigration will stop him. But because of a good relationship, whenever he see, he say, in check, wow, very good to him. Open up, gate, just go. Other people long queue, he just go through. Wow, to him he said, this is good, wisdom. He said, wisdom. But then, because he's not a believer, so I will try to share with him my own testimony. Okay, so a few years ago, you know, my wife and I went to JB to buy medicine for my mother. And while driving on the causeway, I accidentally drove into the bus lane. Somehow, I don't know why. Sometimes it can be, I find very confusing, one lane only. You know, accidentally, boom, you went to the wrong lane. You know, I went to the wrong lane. It is the bus lane. Just before the Malaysian immigration checkpoint. And the moment I go in there, I realize, how come no car around? So I panic set in, oh, no car. Then I realized that it was only a one-lane road all the way in. No choice, I just drove, don't know what to do. And then, suddenly, without from nowhere, traffic police speeding towards me, signaling me to stop. Pull me over. Say, show me your license. Okay. I took out my wallet. I forgot to bring my license. Wow. I'm in deep trouble. Then the traffic police call me, come on, come on. They get the supervisor to come also, come. They, both of them stand beside me and say, you committed two big offenses. You drive into the bus lane. Number two, you drive without a license. And for that, I will fine you 600 ringgit. And he say, after talking, he say, but if you pay now, I give half price. At the cost of half price. I say, I was struggling. I say, but what I want to pay by someone, I don't want to pay now, how? Then you go to some traffic police station quite far away. I say, where is it? I don't know. And he can't tell me which place, you know. He said, there's so many, it's so far away. So I was, to make matter worse, the officer could not tell me the exact location where I should pay, and I was in a hurry, I just go there one for one day only, right? So, and because of my lack of proficiency in Malay, it also hinders how to find out where to go and pay my fine, right? Of course, the easiest way is to just pay now, lah. Half price, 300 ringgit, it's how much? $100 or sing. Yeah. But I remember God's command about bribery. So I say, in the case I tell the traffic police, no, it's okay. I'll pay the summon. You give me a ticket. I have intention, I go back, come back again to pay lah. Maybe another day or two lah. Huh? Then, okay, then went back after running my errands, I went back. Days later, I was thinking, how to go back? If I go back, where to pay? So I want to go online to search where to pay. It seems very difficult. I can't really find. And then I was just, suddenly, I feel a nudge from the Lord to explore, hey, how come electronic payment can or not? You know, so I go to see the website, cannot. Then I remember, hey, I used to pay by ASX. Huh? So I went to ASX. Hey, suddenly I can pay there. I didn't realize I can pay. So I was so happy that, ASX can allow me to pay. So I was so relieved. I did ASX online. I just paid, and I was so relieved. And I was pleasantly surprised that the fine was only 12 Singapore dollars. Bigger discount than 50%, yeah, that's right. So it become a testimony to apply God's principle in everyday life. I can share my brother-in-law. Actually, not true. You think it's human wisdom? This is God's wisdom. Yeah, God intervened and opened up in a different way. And there's a breakthrough, you see? So, obeying the Lord's command saved a lot of time and saved my money. 600 ringgit to 12 Sing dollars. I think I'm very happy now, of course. Huh? But to tell you, now you cannot pay ASS already. Cannot pay already. You go in, cannot. You must go in, go back and pay. Timing just right for me. Okay. So it's very important, you know. We recognize that it is about what? It's about relating to everyday life. It's not just about information and you don't practice it. All right? And the second thing is you need to review. Repetition and review. You know, forgetfulness is the main problem. You know, learning without remembering is a waste of effort. Can you imagine you prepare so hard for the exam and then you study all, remember, but after the exam, 2 weeks, everything forgotten. And many people do like that. Huh? Memorize for the sake of exam. And this one is really a sheer waste of time. The time and effort invested yield no lasting benefits. Because learning without remembering is like filling a leaky bucket. You fill and you leak. And then what happened? You retain nothing. So we need to remember, we need to memorize key Bible verses to emphasize God's testures and judgments by intentional repetition. That means scripture verses comes in. Scripture memory comes in. We need to remember and intentionally repeat it, and you must have a review system, as what Pastor taught. Review system, you can use a card or if there's any other form, but there must be a consistency is important. When you review, you will not forget. And also good for our memory, right? To have a strong memory. Thirdly, this is very, very important, to reproduce. You need to teach others. Get your children to teach their children, or teach somebody, or teach their children in time to come. That means teaching must be the goal for the child. Goal that one day my child is going to be a teacher, going to teach someone of the word. That must be the goal. Because if the person doesn't teach, it's not in him. And these are the most important steps to ensure continuity of faith in your bloodline. Teaching another person is the most effective way to reinforce your own learning. Right? It deepens your understanding, it gives you confidence, it reinforces your memory, and it practices your communication skills. It encourages long-term learning. So that's very important. So many parents go, I just learn myself, or I teach my child. But now, Moses tells us, one more step. You need to teach your child with a goal in mind that he is going to teach somebody else. Depending on his age. He can teach a very simple thing, not necessarily very complicated. Even a child can teach another child a very simple thing. Right? So, teaching. So that must be the goal in mind. The next step, the next generation, not just stop at your children's generation. Okay. The fourth thing, how to teach God's word effectively, is to nurture the hearts. Again, the Israel have witnessed great miracles, but not only they forget, it says here, the hearts depart. Depart your heart from the days. That means the hearts grow cold over time. And that's the very sinful nature, the very inherent sinful nature of all of us. We become complacent and we become arrogant. You know, sometimes when God bless us too much, it may not be a full blessing. You know why? Because one of the problems is we become complacent and arrogant. And the God is not just about, you know, they just don't just witness the great miracles, but their hearts have departed after a while. And it's very interesting in God is giving a warning to Israelites, saying this, that, I just quote from here, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws and decrees that I'm giving you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then what happened? Your hearts become proud and you forget the Lord your God. This is a very typical thing. Yeah? So we have to guard. Many times in, so much blessings. But then you see the person, after a while, the hearts grow cold. No more reading the Bible. No more coming to church because they are so successful. Can you see that? This is the issue. Hearts turning cold. So this is a warning. We are no different from the Israelites. Coldness of heart can result from distractions, worldly pursuit, busyness, environment influence, and peer pressure, and whatever reasons we can give. So how to nurture the hearts? So the thing is, one is to teach the hearts behind the commandments. That means dwell into the deeper moral principles and intentions that underlie the commandments. Because teach them that commandments are rooted in God's love, rooted in His love for us. For example, He said, thou shalt not steal. The principle is about that is about honesty. Respect other people's property and fairness. Honor your father and mother is about based on gratitude, family unity, and respect for authority. You shall not bear false witnesses. It's about truthfulness and integrity and justice. So we need to teach this important thing behind the commandments. Right? The second thing is about cultivate gratitude. Have a gratitude journaling. Practice gratitude and humility because that will keep our heart warm. Learn how to give thanks. Learn how to recognize that this is from God. Even though, no matter how small that is. So, a gratitude journal will be useful to remind us, record it down. This is what the Lord has blessed me with. This is what the Lord has been good to me. Of course, teach your child to pray and meditate on God's word. Encourage them to pray for a heart that that desire to obey God. And encourage them to practice forgiveness. Children is more important. And practice at home. Forgiveness must be practiced at home, not just outside. Outside is even more difficult. So the home environment must be the best place to practice forgiveness. Because family members will rub on each other. There will be offenses. There will be conflict. But beyond that, are we able to resolve it there and then in the family? Because if that cannot be practiced at home, it cannot be applied to life. It cannot be applied to other places. The home is the best training ground for that. And lastly, the fifth, model faithful living. Model faithful living. The Israelites serve as an example to other nations when they live out God's command and God live out God's statutes and judgment. Everybody sees. Powerful testimony. Same thing. If we are able, as parents, are we able to model our lifestyle, our faithful. So teaching our children is not about teaching the word alone. Living out in our lives where they can see, where they can recognize that it aligns with your teaching. It becomes very powerful because this is what exactly what God wants us to do. Obey and live according to God's statutes and judgments to teach conviction. So when you live out, you yourself have a powerful testimony to teach. When you live it out, it gives you conviction to teach. Not just hearing from pastor and then pass on. You have conviction in your heart because you live it out. It reinforces your teaching. Right? When others witness our faith in action, they will begin to clarify doubts and misconceptions. Your children will be able to see your faith in action, not just in your words and deeds. Words, not just in talking, in your words and actions. So setting an example is very powerful for building conviction in our children's life. In this covenantal relationship. Can I have the worship team? Can we just close our eyes and respond to the Lord as the worship team comes right now? And we are going to respond to the Lord through a song right now. Shall we all rise?
Guiding me by your Holy Spirit, teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling, set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
Should we leave our hands? Give it to the potter's hand.
Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
Let's do it again.
You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me, mold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand.
With all eyes closed, I understand that many of us here as parents are struggling with your own children. And some of them are beyond you. And you are helpless. And you have nowhere to turn to. It seems darkness in the end of the tunnel. But today the Lord is telling you, come to the Lord, because He desires to be near you. He desires to come close to you, and He knows your situation. And I sense that you just need to turn it to the Lord. Some who are struggling with their own children, and some of you are disappointed with your children, and there's conflict, offenses that are not resolved. Today, the Lord wants you to resolve it at the cross where you come. And the word is, the Lord is saying that you're holding the baton that the Lord is placing in your hand. So I'd like you to visualize this with your hand holding a baton. This baton is given, passed on to you from the Lord. And you may be the first generation Christians, believers, or you may be the second or third. Whatever your situation, when you have a covenant relationship with the Lord, you are holding the baton right now. Today's word is whether are you going to drop the baton, or are you committed to pass the baton to your next generation and the generation after? Do you have a mindset and goal that I want to commit to teaching the Word of God, not only to my children, but teach them to be teachers themselves so that they can teach their own children when they become parents? Do we drop this baton at their hands, or they are able to pass that baton to their next generation? And the Lord is speaking to you. You just make a response to the Lord in your own prayer right now, to Him in your situation. Father, we thank you that your word gave us a forewarning before things happen. We thank you for the privilege that today we are able to receive your word, and we want to be committed to pass this baton to our children, and also with the conviction for them, to train them that they will be teachers one day to pass this baton to their own children and the children after. Lord, we want to declare that this is what you taught us. And so we will not be complacent and contented. And we want to pass it so that they will maintain a strong covenant relationship with you all their lives, even when we are not around. Even when we are no longer with them, they are able to walk with you. And so, Lord, we thank you. Today, we ask Holy Spirit to speak to us. I bless all of us as parents, as singles as well. Lord, let this be something that, Lord, you want to impart to us so that we want, even for the singles, for the young people, to teach somebody else and impart to somebody else. Thank you, Lord. And today, we ask for the wisdom of the Lord be upon every parent, every family, that their situation, when they come to the cross, Lord, they will have a solution. You will meet them where they are. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.